Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of The Conversation. What a wonderful conversation, folks. I told you no one was going to die or anything from that UFO behind the eclipse, or it was not the end of days. Didn't hear about that, but I was expecting with all these, you know, with that like Halley's Comet thing with the Heaven's Gate thing, I thought something might come out with that, but nothing did. But it's still cool to have been. I didn't really get to see it, but now it's kind of cool. I had to work. But a Native American who is a second congressional district leader talked about how political correctness is running amok and erasing our history does not change it. And this is coming from a man who knows what it's like to have history where it doesn't end up good. You know, it's not like if you look back into our history, if you erase it magically, no black would have been hung and Native Americans would have kept their land. And a surprising poll that says who's in favor of it and who's not with these removing of everything. On MSNBC, former Democratic National Committee Chairman Howard Dean said that any vote for a Republican in 2018 is a vote for the racist in the White House. You know, how is that rhetoric unifying us? It's not. It's dividing us. It's disgraceful. What do you think? The Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. I love this guy. He is sounding the alarm about the flood of illegals entering Canada, saying, "Hey, buddy, you think you're going to come here and get a free ride? Got another thing coming." Because we're a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation in Canada of laws. And we make sure that we adhere to our laws. Only if they did that in America. What a concept. Huma Aberdeen, one of Hillary Clinton's longtime friends who served as her vice chair of the campaign, was paid $64,415.10, you know, a little salary from the Hillary for America since November. I don't know if there's really a law on what they can do with that campaign money, but if it was for America, why wouldn't she help people out? Because she didn't give two craps about you. You collapsed and died. She would only help you if it meant saving her butt politically. She'd help you out. Sure, if cameras were running, she could look like the great person she tries to betray she is. Other than that, she could care less about you. I don't know if you ever heard about this one, but this is kind of a European story. I get a lot of FR2 and like French 24, and this has been a big thing. But Kim Wall, a missing Swedish journalist, died on a home-built submarine. And the inventor reportedly tells cops now that this accident happened and, you know, he buried her body. You see, and all this, now he's being held on manslaughter charges, you know, that he's responsible. And then he will be released pending an investigation. And that's only if the investigation finds out that he did nothing wrong. But then the way it looks like something went majorly wrong and he tried to cover it up. We will have to wait and see how that goes. Also, there's been a petition that has way over 100,000 signatures to label the anti-Trump group Antifa as a terrorist organization. They're way over that, and they're still getting signatures. Also, the Camping World Trucks series, the sponsor, Camping World, CEO, said that Well, if you support Trump, you should take your business elsewhere. And one of my all-time favorite drivers, and I still have my license plate has like a little, like a thing around down the what you call those license plate cover things. And it has still my favorite driver on it that could always get it up because he was sponsored by Viagra. Good old Mark Martin. And also, who might be joining Manchester United in the Premier League, at least what the bookies say? Could we be getting Thomas Lamar? I'll get into that and much more. So welcome to the conversation that I hope you're a part of. Huh. Romans 8:39. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about that as you're going through your day-to-day and evening or whenever you're going to listen to this on the podcast, on the replay. But thank you so much for tuning in. Mike Pence just came out with something. He goes, we need more monuments, not less. You know, we need to remember our history. You know, you need to learn, what did Wendy's do that failed? And why did it fail? Okay, well, that failed with Wendy's. So let's see what, okay, we're not going to do that one. No, nuh-uh. You're going to look at the history of restaurants if you want to start one and see what worked and what didn't work. And it's not necessarily always bad, as you probably heard on the conversation. I've said this once before where I worked at a place and we did those Hebrew National hot dogs, really good ones, all kosher beef, the best meat and stuff, on a pretzel bun with cheddar cheese sauce on one side and a mornay, which is the cheddar cheese sauce, and mustard sauce on the other, on a pretzel bun. Couldn't get rid of it. Couldn't even, why in the hell would you want a pretzel bun? Now everybody and their mother wants. Now you can find pretzel bun everything. Pretzel hot dog buns, pretzel buns, pretzel croissant. You know, a croissant is like a pretzel. I mean, I don't know. Hey, maybe we're just ahead of our time. But that's how it is. You can't erase history. It doesn't change anything. And that comes from a Republican 2nd Congressional District, Mark Wayne Mullen. Yes, sir. He's a Native American, of course, you know, and who better to comment than someone who has more history about loss than anybody? Native Americans, because it doesn't turn out great for them. No, it don't. Not at all, folks, but hey. And then this, I think this was in an NPR. I want to say it was NPR that did a study on this. But regardless where it came from, it was a liberal study that 62% want these monuments to remain, 27% say they want them gone, and 11% say unsure. Unsure. So I don't know. I don't want to get rid of them. You know, like I've said before, why are all of a sudden liberals' panties in wad now because of these monuments? They were there 4 years ago. It was you people, the liberals, that wanted them there. What do we know? What do I know? I'm just some guy in the air here that wants to know where we've been to know where we're going. Because just like anything, you go into a new place and you say, okay, I got a great idea. Why don't, I just want to let you know, I've been here 12 years at this restaurant. We tried that. It didn't work. You got to be kidding me. Baked Alaskan, we did that tableside at the restaurant I used to work at. We would sell 100 a night. Oh, we tried it and we sold like 3 in like 2 weeks. So we just stopped making them. See, you know their history and you know what doesn't sell. Okay, well, let's do it as a special one night. Just want and see what happens. If it sells, great. If not, no loss. If you know your history, and okay, we've tried that, it doesn't work. We tried this, it doesn't work. You can always say, okay, let's try it one more time, but at least you know your history. You know your history, but now they want to get rid of everything. Now let's just, you know, pretty soon, I think I'm going to actually start on my conversation page a petition to try to get them to demolish the White House and rebuild it with gays and lesbians and transgenders and all people from all over the world. And it's going to be a multicultural house for everyone to come to or something. Because, you know, White House is racist because it, you know, that's where we're going to be headed, folks. And that's scary, but that's where we're headed. Because, I'm offended by Abraham Lincoln, you know, because he freed the slaves. See, I'm offended by the Democrats who voted to free the slaves, who voted to get them out of slavery, voted for the civil rights, wanted to give them freedom. It's not the liberals that did anything to try to free these people. Now that you're free, then they're going to economically bond you by saying, okay, well, we're going to put you on these government programs that are basically going to be a trap where you're never going to leave, you're never going to be able to get out of them. I mean, the former DNC chair, Howard Dean, and I've met Howard Dean over 100 times. I used to live in Mount Perrier. I cooked for him many times. He said that if you vote for Republican in 2018, then you're supporting the racist in the White House. How is that, pardon me, solving the problem here? The problem we have is we have a divide in this nation. We have a divide in this nation, and the divide in this nation, folks, is people wanting to divide by every culture, race, and creed. That's how it is. And people don't see that. People don't see that. Because people don't want to see that. They want to see what they want to see. Because y'all know what the BET network stands for. Black Exploitation Television. If you want to seriously end racism, you quit calling me a white man and I'll quit calling you a black man or black woman. You don't have a separate network for blacks. Like, there's a TV One. And it's kind of cool because they got some of those old shows, you know, like Good Times and, you know, Sanford and Son, stuff like that. But they have, like, news on there for, like, to help. What do they say? It's like news that impacts the black community. We need to get away from this black and white and become a human race. We're one race, folks. That's the problem. These people want like, oh, we're about, see, Antifa and Black Lives Matter is about bringing peace to this country through violence. The only way, see, me and my wife have peace in our relationship because we have violence. You know, we fight each other. You know, when I beat her up and she punches me and knocks me down and kicks me in the nuts, then we have peace in our relationship. That's not how it works. So I guess like that boxing that you see on TV, because I guess like Mayweather and McGregor, they're going to fight some big thing. And like UFC stuff, I guess they're fighting for peace. Man, we got to beat each other up so we can have peace. Well, then if that's the case, and that's what Trump's doing, Trump's going to go over and bomb North Korea so that we can have peace. Two sides to every story. But we need to unite us, not divide us. not have separate networks. Yeah, they have Asian networks, but I don't understand those Asian networks. Why? Because it's in Cantonese or Mandarin or Japanese or Chinese or Korean. I don't speak their tongue. And they have news from where they're from in their native tongue. So they can have a little piece of being at home. I mean, and I will apologize if, like, TV One has, like, what's up, man? This is your local news here. We're live from Compton. You know, what's up? I think we heard gunshots over there, man. This is news that's relevant to the black people, you know? Because we got to be, you know, we got to divide ourselves. We can't have, not putting anyone down. We need to unite. There were people that said, well, I didn't want Barack Obama, but at least he's going to unite America. We have a black president, he's going to unite. But that's not the case. That's not what has happened. He's divided us more than ever. Just look at all those Democratic senators that fought to keep that Confederate flag over South Carolina. And then, as soon as it became a race issue, all of a sudden, we got to tear it down. We got to take it down. What you mean, take it down? You were a gunner on a Humvee with a 50 cal fighting to keep that thing up there. Now all of a sudden you want to take it down? Just like Hillary Clinton. She was fighting to the death. F gays. Screw up. Gay marriage, never in hunting, no way. But as soon as she wanted their damn vote, cha-ching, I'm for gay marriage, because if you vote for me, I'll support whatever you want as long as you get my vote. That's the problem. We have politicians on both parties that I'll say whatever I need to get elected. You vote for me and I'll say it. I'm probably not going to do it, but who cares? If I'm in, once I'm in, I don't care. I get $170,000 a year, but who cares? Because I'll be under the table making millions. And people are finally fed up. That's why Trump is in there. We finally got someone that's not a politician. You know, the records show that Huma Aberdeen, who was a close friend of Hillary Clinton, and an aide who served as the vice chair of the campaign, got $64,415.10. She got paid. I wish I could get paid like that for losing. No, if people donated to that campaign, it should go back to the people. I remember I was talking to someone one time. I met this guy and we were talking. I'm like, and we both had this crazy idea, but like, you know, the presidency should be like a TV show. Okay, you give them amount, like, okay, let's say $10 million or $5 million, whatever, and that's all you get to spend on your campaign. No more, no less. Done. That's the problem. Oh, yeah. I raised $500 billion just so I can run for president. And there are people, you know, it just makes me sick when I see how much money they raise for these campaigns. And finally, I saw someone, okay, here's a guy that's a businessman, not a politician. Let's see what he does. Let's give him a chance. He's like the Ross Perot that I wish would have gotten elected the first time, but the real deal, not because Ross Perot was some, I wanted someone like Ross Perot, put it that way. He was kind of like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs with that Jen Ragnon. stopping and stuttering. That's world class. Showed you weren't rehearsed like all those other people. And I kept going over to Gore's podium. Showed you have places to go, people to see. At present, that's spontaneous and American people know it. I think Dana Carvey did the best, Ross Perot, the one of the best presidential. It was hilarious. Perot was the best. You mean we can't listen to good, honest, decent country music out here because they can't put up antennas? I think it's just sad. But we wanted a Perot, but he was just not that. He was the right type of, he was not a politician. But he was just not, and even Kurt Cobain said back then, well, I think people are finally going to get fed up with the corruption, and they're going to elect someone like Donald Trump, who's a businessman, and he's going to try to run America like a business. What a concept. What a concept. Run a country like a business where, okay, this piece of paper costs you a dollar for this pack of paper. Okay, you have to, anything over a dollar, and you make money. The government, see, that my mom always wanted me to do this, try to find something I can make for like 50 cents and sell the government for 30 bucks. Cha-ching. It's called economics, but see, they don't see in the government, they take in this. Okay, we need $10 to buy this $1.99 hamburger, and then you vote on it, and then you take out of your taxes money so that they can have a $10 to buy a $1.99 hamburger, and who knows where that other, you know, $8 goes, basically. $8 and a penny. Where'd it go? I don't know. But... Oh, Canada, my home and native land. They're, like, moving there now, because this the Prime Minister gets it. Justin Trudeau gets it. And sounding the alarm on the growing flood of immigrants entering Canada. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is sounding off the alarms on the growing flood of immigrants entering Canada because of the laws that are being passed by Trump. Canada is an opening and welcoming society. But let me be clear. We are also a country of laws, Trudeau said in remarks after a meeting in Montreal with Irish Prime Minister Leon Varadkar. Entering Canada illegally is not an advantage, the Prime Minister doubled down. There are rigorous immigration and customs rules that will be followed. Make no mistake. Illegal border crossings in Canada have spiked in July, reaching more than triple June's 884 crossings. Most illegals enter through Quebec. Jeez. He's racist, you know, because he didn't want to let freeloaders in. I wonder what liberals are saying about that, because let me tell you something. Because all those celebrities, if Trump gets elected, I'm moving to Hollywood. And I'm moving to Hollywood, getting all my stuff. Because I have a place in Connecticut, so I'm getting up and I'm moving from Connecticut to Hollywood, getting all my stuff in Hollywood that I have there, and then I'm going to Canada. Well, gee, have fun in Canada, because he's saying what Trump's saying. We're a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. He is saying exactly what Trump's saying. I don't care if you come here. If you're an immigrant, great. Come here legally. This is just great. I love this. A Holocaust survivor. This is not the America I came to. When I came to the United States in 1949 after the Second World War, the world had just witnessed a horrific culmination of centuries of anti-Semitism and indivisible murder of 6 million Jews. But the last few months have felt like 1938 all over again. The year when Kristallnacht, a night when rigorous violence against Jews swept through Nazi Germany, announced the brutal persecution to come. I am scared, not for myself, but for my children, my grandchildren, and all children. What did I talk about on this program that these people that were pre-Nazi Germany, pre-Germany before Hitler took over, saw that happening when, and they were sending off, they were ringing the bell as loud as they could. They were having air raid sirens going off saying, hey, this is exactly what Barack Obama's doing, is exactly what happened pre Adolf Hitler in Germany. And now you have people now that are Holocaust survivors that are saying, this reminds me of pre-World War II Germany in this country. This is, you don't have to take Melissa's word for it. You don't have to take Trump's word for it or Pence's word for it or my word for it. This is coming from people who lived it. It's scary because I don't know what it was like to live in pre-World War II Germany, but listening to these people talk, it opens your eyes. It opens your eyes. So, got about just over 30 minutes left in the program, and I want to thank you all so much for tuning in wherever you are around the world. And I hope if you don't live in this state that some of this stuff wakes you up and say, well, hey, maybe I should second guess my government. Maybe I should question authority. As contributors and listeners of the conversation have known, my wife and I both have coal miners in our ancestry. Our DNA is in the mines and coal mines. You want to talk about slavery? If you have any, you take a break at work, thank a coal miner. You have laws, you have rules to protect miners and unions. Coal miners started that. I ask all my listeners out there, do me a favor. It's hard to watch, but I would have to say it's definitely in my top 10 all-time favorite movies. I've seen it probably 100 times. Molly Maguire. It was filmed right behind my dad's house. And it's a true story about the Molly Maguires. There was a group of coal miners called the High Burdens. And the High Burdens were a group of men that were legal to try to get rights from miners. They didn't have money. They didn't have currency. They got coal currency. They didn't get money. So all you could spend it at is at a coal store. They owned you. Okay, we know we paid him $20 last week. They would make sure that no matter what you did, you couldn't get out from under. I mean, Melissa's name might not be right because her ancestors may have changed her name and went from mine to mine to try to get out of debt. But they were slaves. They came home. All you could see was the white of their eyes. They were completely black. Most of them died from black lung. One of the James McKenna was just recently pardoned by the Pennsylvania governor. They tried to stand up for the rights, and there's a monument where a bunch of them got shot in Pennsylvania. I've been there. I paid my respects. It was, but the reason why I'm bringing this up is Western Kentucky University student government voted Tuesday in favor of this, which is going to make you vomit. The Western Kentucky University student government voted Tuesday in favor of reparations for Black students in form of free tuition. A resolution which passed by a vote of 19-10-0 recommends that the university acknowledge slavery as a debt that will never be paid and offer free tuition to Black students. And this is not a joke. They just voted on this Tuesday. In addition, the resolution asked that a special task force be created to look into test optional admissions and admissions weighing based on geographical location, which in theory would make it easier for Black students to apply and be accepted at Western Kentucky University. Now, let's be clear. Western Kentucky is addressing the evils of slavery. That's a good thing. So score one for them. Really? But they're trying to fix slavery's after effects by, wait for it, stealing from other people. After all, if Blacks don't pay for tuition, someone else has to pick up the cost, because nothing's free, folks. Someone's going to have to pick up the cost and the tuition. There are so many problems with this, in fact, that I don't know where to start. I could mention that making something free usually makes it worth less in the mind of the people getting it. Because let me tell you something. If my wife gave me a $20,000 to go to school, I would try to do my – I'd be afraid to take the money, because I'm like, that's not my – okay, if something goes wrong and I don't do great, she's going to say, well, you're failing your classes. Wait a minute, buddy. I paid for this. Okay, you had your half of a year to party and have a good time. Now you're going to buckle down and get the grades, or else I'm going to take the rest of the money from you, and you're going to pay me for that year that you screwed around with at college. And what about the Irish immigrants that came here that had nothing, that were slaves to the coal mine industry? How does this solve any issue? This just strives to further divide us. Remember, I wasn't a slave owner, and you were not a slave. And okay, and they should have to have DNA testing done to make sure that they were not related to some of the first slave owners, which were Blacks. Yeah, I hate to burst your bubble on that one, but Blacks were the first slave owners. Well, don't have to worry. I mean, I've been called everything under the book. I just laugh at people anymore when they, you're just a racist because you support Trump. So? Really? Like, I give a crap? You know? I don't care. I am, man. I'm part of the Aryan Brotherhood. I'm part of the KKK. I'm part of them all, man. I hate, if you're not white like me, then I just think it's funny because, Trump has all these Black people on his cabinet. He's wore a yarmulke and he's prayed, but he's a Nazi, he's racist, he has Blacks in his cabinet, but whatever. That's just how this world works, they don't know how to deal with the hypocrisy of the government, because if when Robert Byrd died, I would have 110% supported Obama if he didn't go to that funeral. since he is a very high-ranking member of the KKK and Barack Obama is part black. That had probably been the smartest thing he had done his whole campaign. Gee, I'm part black. He was a KKK member. He would have wanted me hung. I think I'll skip that. Sorry. I could have supported him on that. That would have made sense. But, you know, of course. You get called out for... When you bring that up and you get called out for bringing up the fact that he did that. You know, because Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, they were like family to Robert Byrd. Not biologically, but it's just one of those things, folks, that and I told one of my friends, I said, well, gee, welcome to the hypocrisy. Just like you kind of act like no matter if Barack Obama wouldn't have gone West Virginia, they would have tore him up and America would have tore him up for not being there. But if he went, they would tear him up, and they have. I'm like, I would have supported if he didn't go, because 90% of the America sees him as a black person, even though he's carbon and Asian like Tiger Woods. You know? Even though he's like carbon Asian like Tiger Woods, you know, people see him as a black man. And I could see how people would, I would have been like, I could see how he shouldn't have been there. You know, now you see how we feel when no matter what Trump does, they find some way to go off on him. He just needs to find how he needs to get like a strategist that can figure out, some really smart person that can figure out, okay, you need to find out what Democrats stand for right now. And then Trump needs to jump on that bandwagon and start supporting what some of these Democrats do and see if they switch sides. That would be. He needs to start like, yeah, well, I think we should keep Obamacare. Or what the hell? And then they flip out. After long consideration, we're going to keep Obamacare. What would they? Well, because they can't like anything he does. But hey. It's just one of those things and that we deal with and we go through and we live through, and this is kind of very interesting. I don't know. I like the guy. And you know, I mean, I remember I used to go to a speech therapist at Purdue University, and when we would leave and come back, I think it was when we came back, we'd always go to McDonald's. I'd get like a cheese Danish and I'd microwave it, and it's so good. And after my speech therapy and stuff, and I'd turn on the TV, and what was on? Richard Simmons. I love the guy. He was great. Nothing against the man. But I guess he has a huge lawsuit against like several newspapers, because they have come out saying that he has had he's looked into or has had reassignment surgery and all this. And he's come out in the new court filings that I'm not transgender. I'm a man. Always have been. I always will be. I just am the way I am. And I'm like, way to go, Richard. Way to stand up and say, hey, F you people. I am who I am. What, you know, just because dress is different me. What, you know, we're a diverse nation, folks. Just because he kind of has that curly hair and he kind of has that look doesn't mean he is. I mean, I guess I've always been one of those people like, okay, what makes pink girlish? What makes blue boyish? You know, a lot of people think that purple is like a girlish color, but I love purple. It's my favorite color. We all have things that make us unique, and his look makes him unique. If he all of a sudden changed his style, I'd be like, well, okay. I mean, when Barry Manilow came out and he said he was gay, well, first of all, pretty much knew he was, but that didn't change my view of him. I love him. His music is awesome. his, because it's time-tested music. It's about love. It's about romance. It's, you know, just like a lot of Christian music. You're going to be able to hear Zach Williams' Old Church Choir 20 years from now, and it's all going to have, and it's going to give that same message, and you're going to still be able to relate to it then and now. And because he's, I mean, I couldn't imagine having, like, people out my door every day, you know, with cameras trying to get pictures of me. You know, we're just human beings, folks. We want to be, I want to be able to have time with my wife. I mean, there's people that around town and stuff that will see me that, you know, that produce, because they know somebody that knows somebody, you know, hey, well, I'm friends with her and da-da-da, and what do you think about this? And, you know, they'll, sometimes I'll ask a question or whatever, or my hairstylist will ask a question or whatever, and I'm no problem. You're nice to me, I'm nice to you. You invade my personal space, we got problems. Because Richard Simmons wants to have some time to himself and just, you know, away from 50 million people following him 24/7, 365 with cameras and... It, you know, and it's sad that it has to come to this. But that's where the cookie unfortunately crumbles. You know, when they're like, oh, well, he's reassignment surgery. Because there was an article one time I read with, I think it was Soleil Moonfry from Punky Brewster, that because the way the article was written on the front cover of People thought that she'd had like a, like, surgery to enlarge herself or something. And I'm like, I think she actually had surgery to reduction because it was so, she was so big and so top heavy that it was hurting her back. Yeah, and health issues and stuff. And the funny thing about it is because the way it was worded, she got so many people thinking it was this and it was that. And I mean, it's good, you know, that, you know, that she's able to at least, hey, this is what really went on. This is not what happened. You know, and I think we need to give people their privacy, you know. I mean, like, if you want to talk to me, talk to me. You know, when there's a time when I want to be talked to and there's a time when I don't want to be talked to. You know, there's times where people are like, what do you think of this or that? Or whatever, if I hear someone talking about something, I'll shoot my opinion or whatever, but there's times when it's like, ah, no, sorry. I don't want to get into this one story that really, it's been, I don't think it's that big of a news story here, but it's Kim Wall is a missing Swedish journalist who died in a home-built submarine. The inventor reportedly tells cops that she died in it and that he buried her at sea, and that was an unexpected accident, and, you know, that because she's been missing, and he finally came out, he buried her at sea, and all this stuff happened, and now he's being held on preliminary manslaughter charges, and they're trying to figure out, did she die accidentally, and he's trying to just, okay, I'm just gonna say she went missing and dump her overboard, or... what they're trying to find out what really went on, you know, and I don't know if they're going to be able to find the 30-year-old journalist's body and be able to do an autopsy, if he's going to lead them to where, yeah, this is where I know I left her body. Will you be able to find it? Will you not? But I, you know, it's just one of those things that I think he's like, okay, well, she came on board and something happened to her, and I don't know if. I mean, I guarantee you with the Copenhagen police, they're going to get down to the nitty gritty and find out what happened. You know, because it really doesn't, we don't really know the details of, except for there was an incident that happened. They don't know, you know, did she hit her head? Did she slip and fall and something happened and she died as a consequence and he's afraid he's going to get blamed? So I'll just dump her overboard and make it even worse. I don't know. But it's, you know, I've been following it for like the last week to see, so we'll have to wait and see. And I will keep my conversation listeners updated because I do have some listeners that are from overseas. So, I'll update on Thursday if there's any new information from the Danish police and see what they say. It may be best if I find an article in Danish and then translate it to either French or English and read it and see what it says and, see what they see if there's any new leads. So, but I kind of feel like something happened and, whether I what I think is there's two schools of thought. Either he did something to her and dumped her out at sea, or an accident happened in the submarine and she ended up dying as a result of it. And then from there, it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to cover it up. So I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. Just over 11 minutes left in the program, folks. And any of you, even around the world, I love motorsports. I love Formula One, IndyCar, NASCAR. I've been watching NASCAR since the 80s. And the camping world is like an RV super center in the United States. And they have sponsorship of the Camping World Truck Series, formerly known as the Craftsman Truck Series. And the CEO basically came out on CNBC and said, if you're a Trump supporter, you should probably think about going somewhere else to buy an RV. Which, in my opinion, that's, if you can support Trump in any way, you're busy, Anywho, he has already had some bark and some fight back from this. Because Mark Martin, I still have a license plate cover with his from the Viagra days when he drove the number 6 Viagra car. That was when he was with Jack Roush. Roush Racing. Wow, that just seems like yesterday. I have a little tin of that came with like little chocolate Rice Krispie kind of cars in it. And I think I'm missing like 2 or 3 of the tins to have the whole set. But anywho, he canceled a $150,000 RV order that they were doing for him. That's how you're going to be fine. I support Trump. You ain't going to, I'll go somewhere else. Just like that guy I talked about the other day where they took, and I've talked about this many times, where he had to let people go because of this thing that Obama passed. And since that happened, what did he do? He went and looked for Obama stickers. If you supported Obama, he let you go. You can't do that. Well, this is why I have to let you go, because of this policy Obama passed. Since you voted for his change, this is the change you're getting. How can I take someone that wanted Mitt Romney or John McCain and get rid of them when they didn't want this? I don't know what's going to happen, because most of NASCAR are conservative, military supporting, police supporting, border patrol supporting conservatives. Not all of them, but most of them are. But if someone comes out and says what they say, then guess what? You can come out with the almighty dollar. That's what makes America great. Because if my wife loves what Hobby Lobby supports, she can spend her money there. So can I. If I don't like what Hobby Lobby stands for, I don't have to shop there. That's why you have Joann's Fabrics and you have Michaels, and you have all these other stores. Walmart and Kmart and Target and Meijer and Payless and Safeway. You have many choices to go get stuff. If the CEO of Party City says something you don't agree with, you don't have to shop there. That's the beauty of America. Love my wife. And that's why I love her, because she understands that concept very well, where she has $5, $10, she can spend it where she wants to. Some people don't get that. I think it's childish what he said. He has the right to say that. I mean, I have the right to say, okay, support this, or, you know, I'd be like, I guess to me, a dollar is a dollar. You want a dollar from me? You want to buy something from me? Buy it from me. You know, people getting their panties in a wad. Well, if you support Trump, I'm not going to take your money. I don't know. But I want to thank you all so much for tuning in, and a start we have, folks. What a start we have. I tell you, who is number one in the table? Manchester United. Awesome. Yes, it is. And there are bookies around England that are saying that there's some. Do you trust a bookie? Do you not? Thomas Lamar is reportedly coming to Manchester United, according to a lot of bookies that say, I would put money on it that he is coming. Perisic, he has been offered, I guess, to Inter Milan, a very, very, very high end deal, that he's going to be the highest paid player at Inter Milan. So we will have to wait and see how that goes. I think Perisic is pretty much done. I think it will be Thomas Lamar that comes to United. So we will have to see. It's one of those. When I know we're going to get one more signing. I believe that. I believe Mourinho. It's just, who is it going to be? And I think it's going to be Thomas Lamar. Because Perisic is pretty much going to be getting some. Inter Milan doesn't want to get rid of him. And they're offering him such a good deal that he ain't going to pass it up. Unless Manchester United could offer a bigger deal. So, I don't know. Anthony Martial, I think, is a better player, yes, but he's not bad, though. And I want to, let's say Anthony Martial twists an ankle, okay? Thomas Lamar can jump in and be that player and help out the team. We need to have depth in the club in case we have injuries. I'm going to be watching Everton, yeah. I mean, my wife, I think I'm gonna buy her a jersey, an Everton jersey. Oh, it's not gonna be a Wayne Rooney jersey. Oh no, it's gonna be someone else. Yeah. Hey, so the least I can do for you is. But I think we're starting out good, and I hope we finish good. And I think it's not going to be till down the road when we play like Liverpool or a decent team, and we see how we stack up against the big boys. And I think too, it's going to be about a month to see how we stand, because when we, because then we can say, okay, well, this team is doing very, very well. Let's see how we stack up against them. I wouldn't have said they would have been the team they are now at the beginning of the season. We're a month and a half in, and they're the dominant team besides United. Let's see how we stack up against a team that's very, very dominant. And that's how this cookie crumbles. So, I it's just kind of a iffy year, because I'm just like, there's so much mix up in this, and I really, 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 really want a Perisic, and he really wants to come to United. So I think honestly, he should have sat there and said, okay, I'm gonna throw in a transfer request form, and made force the hand. About 90 seconds left. I want to beat United, but obviously he hasn't done that. And the deal now, the Inter Milan deal, I think is done. I think it's a matter of when they announce, yes, he re-signed the contract, but I don't know. If United was to throw a deal better than he's getting at him, you know, but it's going to take a lot for an Inter Milan. Got about 60 seconds left, folks, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in, and it's been a wonderful conversation, and I hope you try to do whatever it is you do, like I do, to try to bring this nation together and not divide it, because that's what we're here to do. You know, Jesus ended the debate 2,000 years ago about which lives matter, because he died for us all. And that, remember, folks, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes. Until next Thursday, coming up in 2 days, good night and God bless. Goodbye.